Hey, everybody. Neil Rosen. Welcome to another episode of Sitting Around Talking Movies. We're talking Dumbo this week, Hotel Mumbai, Gloria Bell, that's the Julianne Moore movie, Diane, that's the Mary Kay Place movie. We're talk about a show that's streaming on Netflix with A.D. Bryant called Shrill. Bill McCuddy, who's sitting here with me, what? There's another movie you wanted to talk about, you said?
Yeah, I'm a little late to the party for the Ethan Hawke, Rose Byrne film called Juliet Naked, which I saw last night and thought
and
was
Bill
quite
Bregoli's
good.
And Bill Bregoli's here, and he's going to tell
Judd
us all
Apatow
about
produced.
Us.
That's right.
The Jordan Peele movie, sophomore movie. After
$70 million weekend.
After Get Out. But let's start by talking about Dumbo, and
Danny DeVito has something to say about it.
He sure does.
Our movie is spirited, up, positive, funny, energetic, and it has all those values that were in the original. And we also bring other things into it, like animal captivity, and I feel like our new Dumbo has dealt with that in a really positive way.
That was Danny DeVito, as we said, and we review this show, by the way, on our television show, Talking Movies, which premieres this Friday at 9:30 on CUNY, Channel 75, on Spectrum, and Verizon.
Calm down, we'll get you a link.
And we'll get you a link. And it's
every
me.
Time he does this with
it's
11
McCuddy,
different
me,
times
and
channels.
Lisa Rossman, and this month, Logan Hill. Anyway, okay, so let's talk Dumbo. Dumbo, Bill McCuddy. I know since we did this on the TV show, I know what you thought about it, but why don't you tell everybody what you thought about it, and why don't you tell everybody what it's about?
Well, does anyone really need to be told what this is about? It's a remake of the classic cartoon from
1941. How many people really
know? Well, but it's gotten played over and over and over again. Sure. One thing we can talk about is the way that now that Fox owns Disney, they're not going to put things in the vault anymore. They're going to have things out all the time. So everybody can see the original Dumbo. I'm not as concerned with them seeing this one. It's about a little elephant that can fly. Tim Burton is directing, so it has his kind of touch to it. It stars as kind of Walt Disney, Michael Keaton.
Well, okay.
And
whenever
I tell you about a movie, always people who listen to this know all the time, Neil can't let somebody else describe the movie without going, well, wait a minute, it's also about this and that and the other thing.
I will shut up.
Colin Farrell is a one-armed kind of horse wrangler that was famous and lost an arm, comes back. Danny DeVito, who we just heard, is kind of, he runs the circus. He's the ringmaster. And then Eva Green is an aerialist who belongs to the Michael Keaton storyline and wants to bring Dumbo to their big kind of Disney-esque circus. So you have the makings there of not much, because here's what happens. In my opinion, Tim Burton is the wrong guy for this material, because everything dark and cool about his other movies is undercut by Disney wanting this to be a for the whole family kind of up with people movie. So Dumbo for me is dumb.
Okay, so what you left out, since I promised you I wouldn't talk during anything, is you said that Colin Farrell comes back. You didn't say from where. He comes back from the war. And that's how he lost his arm, just right. For a side note.
In the Which first war? 10 seconds of the movie. World so you're right. People would have been lost.
World War One, actually.
World War One, okay.
And, okay. I am not a big fan of these Disney live-action remakes of all their classic animated films, which is something that they're doing, which is something that we talk about extensively and go through about 15 of them on the television show this Friday. But I will say this. Having not really, like, when I saw the Beauty and the Beast one, for example, that they did recently, I thought it lacked the wonderment and charm of the animated thing, and I thought the play on Broadway, the show, was great, but I don't really remember the cartoon Dumbo. I mean, it was from 1941. It got re-released. I saw it probably when I was, like, a very little kid, so I don't really, unlike Beauty and the Beast, which I saw hundreds of times with my daughter, you know, I don't really remember this story, so I kind of approached this as new material. And seeing, I mean,
Know the elephant flew?
I knew the elephant flew, and I knew he was part of a circus, and I knew that the mother, which is like classic Disney and all their storylines, the mother was taken away from Dumbo when Dumbo was an infant. Like, that's generally, isn't that the thing, Bill Bregoli, and all the Disney films?
Of course.
The mother, Bambi's mother, it's all about the mother, you know, or the father in the Lion King cases, you know. Right, the parent, one of the parents is mysteriously either killed or stripped away from
again,
their kid.
I think everybody knows the Dumbo story.
Right, so I'm saying, but I didn't really remember the shot-for-shot aspect of it like the other ones. And so taking this for what it was, I said that on the show, and I'll say it again here, is that my daughter is an adult now. She's going to be 25 years old. And, you know, I wish she was 8 or 9, and I could have taken her to this. We would have had a great time. I mean, Tim Burton.
So it's for 8 or 9 year olds and Neil Rosen.
No, I think it's great for families. And I think that Tim Burton is not like the crazy out there Tim Burton from, I don't know, Bill Bergoli. Name a crazy Tim Burton movie other than Ed Wood is just coming to my mind, but that's not really
Corpse Bride.
What? Yeah, Corpse Bride.
Corpse Bride. There you go.
There you go.
Mars Attack.
Mars Attack.
Mars Attack.
I mean, yes.
Okay, Beetlejuice.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, this is the wrong
so
guy for
visually,
this.
Visually, it's kind of got those Tim Burton kind of...
looks creepy to me.
You know, trademarks.
It looks creepy.
It looks
so
creepy.
This is, so we should explain to people that Bill Bergoli has not seen it. This is the game
I could
play
be,
every
but
week.
I'm here now.
We're going to play the game at the end of our review.
Where we talk Bill into going to see it.
Okay, here's why I liked
it, Bill. I
wasn't
a fan.
Here's why I liked it, Bill, okay?
Yeah.
I thought Danny DeVito was really perfectly cast as the ringmaster. I'm with Bill McCuddy that Michael Keaton was not that well cast, but he's okay. But, you know, I found this thing to be just kind of, like, interesting and fun. I like the CGI. I think from an visually, it's a wow. They build this evil version of Disneyland, which Bill McCuddy again said on the television show. You got to give him credit for that. I mean, it's like an evil Disneyland.
Well, because they burn it to the ground. Yeah, that's the only thing that I can't believe Disney approved.
Right, and it's called Dreamland, and it takes place in Brooklyn, which is kind of an ode to Coney Island. It was Dreamland, Luna Park, and there was a third one in Coney Island like 100 years ago, within, if you know your Coney Island history. So it was kind of like a kind of like an homage to that, and it's this really interesting place, and yeah, they kind of burn it down to the ground, and that's kind of interesting, and and you know, as I said, you know, the on the show, you know, they updated it's a Dumbo for the 21st century. In the original, the stork, there's a whole sequence where the stork brings Mama Jumbo, baby Dumbo. At least the elephant gives birth in a natural way.
You're right. That's tremendous project.
No, but I mean, it's updated. And if
I overlooked that.
I went back and I looked at parts of the original Dumbo cartoon, and the music's pretty awful. I mean, there's not like any memorable songs. Like you can go to these.
So what's in this that was memorable?
Well,
as Dumbo would say, I'm all ears.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was. If you've got kids and you want to go to it moves. It's fun. It's colorful. And
it's cold.
I like the way Danny DeVito gets railroaded by corporate America at the time. Michael Keaton wants to buy the circus and turn it into this whole.
Sounds like an awful lot of plot for an 8-year-old.
There is a lot of plot, actually. And one other thing that's very disconcerting is that people, you start out bad, become good, and some people start out good and become bad, and really for no reason other than to make it a Disney movie.
All right. Well, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Eva Green's in it.
Yeah.
She's an aerialist.
Yeah.
Do we see her in, like, leotards?
Yes.
You sure do. You see
well, maybe I will see
so
her.
So now you're
you
in.
You see her on the trapeze doing splits and turns and all
you
kinds
You know, ever
of stuff.
Since the Bond movie, she has no... I mean, this is terribly sexist, and please join Lisa Rossman in the text that we will get for this. Ava Green, whatever, has never really done it for me. I don't think she's that stunning, but...
Okay.
She's very pretty in this as...
She's one of the people that you don't think is good, and I'm not really giving too much away, and you kind of like root for her, and she becomes
good.
Yeah,
that's the problem. I mean, everybody who's cool in a Tim Burton way, in a mean way, turns out to be nice. It's just, it's so...
Look,
it's a paycheck for Tim Burton.
Going alone as a grown man to see this movie, I would say probably not, but I'm saying if you have kids... You know, nephews, nieces, young kids. You want? I think it's a great family film. So all right. So we'll play the game now.
Never takes off.
All right.
I don't think I want to see it.
You don't think you want to see
it? I always win this fucking game. I love this game.
Okay, so we're gonna move on, and Bill Bergoli is gonna take center stage.
Okay,
now he's gonna tell us about the movie Us, which is something I really want to see. So I want.
How come
to
you
know
didn't?
About
it was playing last week.
I know.
You
could have
gone. I was there. You saved Allison a seat. I could have saved you a seat. Actually, I couldn't. Man, it was really jammed in there, and they had an overflow theater because so many people went to see
this
thing.
This was on 42nd Street, right?
Yeah. Okay. They had two theaters showing this thing.
So tell us about it.
Well,
what's it
This is Jordan Peele's enormously anticipated follow-up to Get Out.
Right.
Yes. And
I'm the one that interrupts Bill when he's trying to tell
him. I know. Why'd you interrupt me? Okay. What happens? It starts with a little girl with her family at the beach, and she becomes separated and goes into like a fun house. Well, not quite a fun house, but a creepy little attraction that's basically a hall of mirrors.
The House of Mirrors.
That's not what it's called, but okay. Yeah. And then she sees someone who looks just like herself, and something.
Well, it's mirrors.
Well, except she moves when she doesn't move. She realizes this is not a reflection. This is something creepy, and she suffers some sort of horrible shock syndrome or something. Parents can't talk to her, but all this is condensed into like the first 5 minutes. Then you meet her. She's grown up. And her husband wants to go to the beach and bring their two kids. So they go to this.
Is she Lupita Luang?
Yes, she is. Lupita, whose name you cannot pronounce. Right.
Lupita, whose name Luongo, I think.
Yeah, or, pretty close.
Niongo.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, yeah. So we meet them. Their dad's there, and dad's kind of a goofball, and he rents a boat, and he says, "Let's go to the beach." And she's like, "You sure? It might rain. I'm not sure."
She's but traumatized she goes along. From the whole thing?
Yeah, she's traumatized.
She is, not him.
And then
pay attention.
I am.
Yeah, some creepy things happen. But they go home, and, oh, by the way, they have some white neighbors or white friends of his who are also part of this vacation, but they have their own vacation home they're staying in. Everybody goes home. It's nighttime, and Lupita Nyong'o's family all of a sudden hears something weird in the driveway, and it's people, and they look just like them. And then they start to attack them with scissors, and it gets creepy.
All right, I think you stop there because anything else I think would be considered a spoiler at this particular point. But you, okay, so.
It's all in the trailer.
All right, what do you think about it? What do you think of it?
There's a lot of symbolism in this. There are some shots that he stole from, like Stanley Kubrick, like The Shining, that you know what he's referring to. And then there's stuff I don't know what he was referring to. And it also has a problem of slowing down a bit in it. It's good and creepy when they're fighting the, what do they call them? Doppelgangers. When they fight the doppelgangers, it's kind of fun and pretty well done, but it goes on and on and on. And I know it's getting a lot of praise, but I'm kind of like, it was okay. That's it. It's a Twilight Zone episode with a lot of symbolism tacked on.
Well, he's actually hosting the Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
on
you're
the
right.
New on CBS Access all thing access, or whatever that
yeah.
is.
For an episode, or he.
No, he's
the
new Rod Serling.
To the so Serling
he's the new
shoes.
Rod Serling. Right. So what I don't understand is. Is there a reveal that's satisfying? So I have like three ways this can go.
An ending
and I don't want to give anything away.
There's
but
an ending that leaves something open that really creeps people out. So there's
okay.
a very problematic ending that people are freaking out over. There is a reveal about Lupita's character.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I came out of the theater and talking to my friend Allison who sat next to me. And we spent, I think we weren't the only ones talking about that reveal, whether or not it made sense. So there's some problematic stuff there.
Are there cheap thrills? Are there like
there's a lot
spooky
of,
like
yeah? Oh, there's some fun
booms that
booms
you just go
And when their kids start fighting their own doppelgangers, they get nasty at one point, and you're like, wow, look at this teenage girl kill another teenage girl. Looks just like okay. it's.
Is
creepy.
This worth full price at the box office?
Yeah, you know what I say? Go
wait
see it.
For
you
on
can
demand
see it. I just
thing?
Wasn't a big. I just didn't know totally crazy over it, but see it.
And two questions. On a scale of 1 out of 4, how many would you give it?
Is it funny for adults and for children?
Kids.
Would it be a 3, 3.5, 2.5, 3?
I'd give it like 3.
3, and what would you
give
Get
a
Out,
solid 3.
His first song?
3. Get yeah. Out kind of annoyed me at times.
Okay. So this is... If
you get the message, you get it early and often.
Okay. There's no little banging on a teacup like...
not quite like that. There are some stuff I couldn't figure out. The scissors they use these people wear orange jumpsuits and they wield scissors. These doppelgangers. Oh yeah, it's scary. If you saw another Neil Rosen, heck, we'd all be scared.
Well, that's a whole other conversation. But I'm saying, like, Get Out was interesting. I don't think it was necessarily. I mean, I wasn't scared in Get Out.
No, this was interesting and
scarier.
And this is scarier. Yeah, it's more violent.
This has a social agenda also.
Oh, it does.
I mean, That's his thing, and that's what they say. Being an old
white guy, I couldn't figure it all out.
It's
got
to make you think, and that's what
Bill Regoli said, that it has less of a social agenda than Get Out.
Well, it's not on the. I mean, it's not as out front as the social agenda was. It certainly does have one.
Uh-huh.
And there's talk about underground tunnels and that sort of thing. They also work into, remember Hands Across America?
Yeah, yeah. I heard about this.
They worked that into
Ken Cragen, an old agent of mine, was in charge of that. Actually.
What was
and
that,
they said
what was
it's
that
kinda,
charity for?
Hands Across America was,
oh, yeah.
It wasn't United Way, but it was something, mm-hmm. Oh, it was some disaster. It was some like big hurricane back then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. So you've sold me. I'm going to see it. Whether I see it in the theater.
We just haven't gotten there. You haven't been hyped for this thing to want to see it.
No,
whether
I
want to
see it. But if Bill Regoli said, it's, you know, I respect his opinion. If he said it's really not good and he didn't like it, then I would probably wait and say, you know, when it comes on HBO or Netflix or something, I'll see it then. But no, now I
see
mean
it, see it big. If
I see have
it
a feeling, Neil, it's about the evil that's inside of all of us, and so maybe you shouldn't see it.
Well, I'm going to now talk about Hotel Mumbai, and I'm going to do the lead, as I've called them. So be sure and interrupt me. All right, Hotel Mumbai is based on a true incident that happened in the it was called the Hotel Taj, or the Taj Hotel in Mumbai, India, in 2008. And it's interesting that I don't know this. It was a terrorist attack. There were a whole bunch of terrorists from actually help me out here. Where
no, you're doing great.
No, but
I don't
know if they were ISIS or.
Well, they weren't identified as ISIS in 2008. I think they were just Middle Eastern. I don't know.
Well, there were a bunch of terrorists. I don't know how this incident escaped my consciousness back then.
I remembered it,
but I don't remember. Did you remember it, Bill McCuddy?
No, but and we should say because this is something you would do. They target all sorts of areas around town, but the movie is just about this particular hotel.
So basically they go into this hotel. You see the beginning of the movie, they come in off a boat, and they go into the hotel, and this is an amazing hotel. I mean, this is 5-star plus. I mean, it's like...
Kind of like, I know you always say I bring this up, but kind of like a Bond movie, like kind of like something you would see in a great over-the-top film like that.
I mean, the head chef in the restaurant is saying... You know, the patrons are...
Kings, sheiks, kings.
We treat them like anything that they want. And, you know, Bill said on the TV show, and then he says, I want to take that again. He goes, I understand. He said he'd like to go to this hotel at one particular... It looks like an amazing hotel. I mean...
If you're going to be attacked by terrorists in any hotel, this is the one you want
to
be
Bill doesn't want to go to the hotel while it's being attacked by terrorists, but it looked like a pretty remarkable hotel. And so they come in, like a dozen guys, and they come in with machine guns, and they basically just kill everybody on site, everybody in the lobby, and they go floor to floor and just bust down the doors, and somebody, or they knock on the door, somebody opens the door, and they're just going floor to floor, killing everybody in the hotel.
And one of the things that we learned that's horrific is that they don't really have a response mechanism in that country. They don't really have what we have in this country
SWAT
to come
teams.
In. And they don't really have SWAT teams. They have to fly them in from like 3 or 4 hours away, which is kind of horrific in and of itself.
So
peaceful country until these guys show up.
It took 3 days, the actual incident I learned afterwards. This takes place. It doesn't really give you a semblance of time in the movie. It looks like it's taking place over,
I would say 24 hours.
Like a day.
Yeah.
And so there are a couple of people, the kitchen staff and some other guests.
And Dev Patel.
Yeah, well,
Dev Patel, one of the kitchen staff.
Right. Dev Patel, who actually wasn't even supposed to be there, his character. This place is so immaculate. He comes in and he's not wearing...
The
right shoes. His shoes were stolen. And he was wearing the wrong shoes. And the guy who's running the kitchen, the head waiter, the head of the kitchen goes, no, you come back tomorrow. You cannot stay here with these shoes. And the guy goes, I really need to be here. I need the money. My wife's having a baby. And he goes, okay. So that was a pretty bad decision on, you could stay. It was not really necessarily what you wanted to hear.
The shoes fell out of his backpack. They weren't stolen.
Well, anyway. Is that true? They fell out?
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that. Well, okay. Nonetheless, Dev Patel and the head of the kitchen, they hide in a part of the hotel along with some guests, including one played by Jason Isaacs, who's apparently, they don't really tell you much about him, but he's apparently...
Well, they do at the end. Like, I mean, they do...
He's like a 007 spy. But
from the, Russia.
Yeah, but they're saying this is a very important guest. They, you know, before the attacks happen. And other people, on Army Hammer is in the movie from not only The Lone Ranger, but...
Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name.
And he's married to Adnan Khashoggi's daughter.
Right.
And they have a baby. And they have a nanny.
Right. And the nanny's watching the baby. And they're hiding out. And she's hiding in the shower. And he's hiding dead. Everybody's hiding. And here's the thing. It was very interesting to me because I really didn't know anything about this incident. On the other hand, it's a little exploitive because you don't really get to know many of the characters that well. And you're just seeing, it's sort of like the Poseidon Adventure. It's like the way... People are stuck in a specific part of that ship, and the whole movie is they're trying to get out.
There's got to be a morning after.
People are stuck in a part of this hotel. This machine gun fire going on, and they have to find
little
nooks.
I think the better comparison is United 93, which basically didn't tell us anything except we knew what happens, obviously.
But that wasn't an escape. This is these people are stuck.
No, but it's a moment by moment. It's a moment by moment horrific event that happened without much backstory. I remember on the show you were complaining, I didn't know any of these people. Well, that's not the point.
I would recommend the movie, but I recommend the movie.
Yeah, I do too.
I was saying the flaws in it, but I'm saying overall I would recommend the movie.
Yeah, I think it's worth seeing as well. Bill, have we talked you into queuing up?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I like this game better when we disagree and then he takes my side. It's a much better game then.
That works for you. But
all right, Hotel Mumbai. What else is
out? Okay, so listen, before we get back to movies, I binge watched a show with my wife over the last 2 days. It's only 6 episodes. It's called Shrill. It's on Hulu. It's streaming on Hulu. It's a series that stars A.D. Bryant from SNL. And Beck Bennett is in actually one of the episodes too. He's in the finale episode, also from SNL. But it's about A.D. Bryant, who's plays a woman. She, by the way, she produces the series. It's produced by Lorne Michaels and Elizabeth Banks. But A.D. Bryant not only produces, she writes or co-writes every one of those 6 episodes, and she stars in it. This is her show, and it's about how she's been fat shamed through her entire life. And it, you know, she works in a job at this I won't say a newspaper. It's like one of these Slate online.
E-zine. An e-zine.
Okay, yeah, it's an online magazine, and she has aspirations to be a writer. But the John Cameron Mitchell, who's the guy who owns this e-zine,
tells her she's too fat to be a writer.
No, just kind of wants to keep her in her place and doesn't really want. And then she writes an article. Which kind of on her own, and he lets it and becomes kind of like an online hit. But she's also in a relationship where she's abused, not physically or emotionally, but the guy doesn't want. Can you go out the back window? Don't go out the back door, because he's embarrassed. His friends, his roommates, he doesn't want his roommates to know that he's basically dating a fat girl. You know, so she's actually going out there, and she has to climb over a fence, and she like falls down. You know, and
but it's good exercise.
And it's basically, you know, she goes into a, this is all in the first episode. She goes into like a coffee shop.
It's in real time too. You're telling us this episode.
She sees in a coffee shop something posted. She wants to take out like a jazzercise class or something, and it says jazzercise with Tanya or something like that. And she, you know, the way you tear off the little pieces on the
right.
thing with the phone number. And she goes, I'm Tanya. Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to help you so much. You're going to feel better about yourself when we're done. You're going to be able to look at yourself in the mirror. You're going to be able to walk down the street. And this girl's like, fuck you. You know what I mean? It's like, I like jazz. So it's basically, over the course of the 6 episodes, she gains more confidence. No, she gains more confidence. She grows a pair, so to speak, and she stands up for herself. She stands up to her boyfriend. She stands up to her boss, and she starts.
It sort of sounds. Can I ask
her
a question?
Her parents are played by Daniel Stern, if you remember that actor. Really miserable on Junkets for me. I had a very bad experience with him on a junket many years ago. Not a nice guy. And
he was the narrator on what show?
Wonder Years.
Yeah.
And thought you'd stump me, right? And the woman is Julia
Breaking
Sweeney.
Breaking Away, the best movies ever made. Julia Sweeney
from Saturday Night Live, who played Pat. It's Pat on Saturday Night Live.
So can I ask you a question?
Love this show.
Funny for kids and no. Is it a dramedy?
No, this is.
Is it a dramedy or is it? Is it like Curb Your Enthusiasm?
It's
funny.
It's a dramedy. It's actually more comedic. It's a dramedy, but it's more comedic than drama. You know, I would say it's comedic in the sense that show Crashing
Barry?
Is, where it's
Crashing.
Like you know, it's dramatic at points, but there's comedic.
Kind of the most interesting thing you've said to me, because it's this podcast that we talk about the business, is that Lorne Michaels produced something that's not a movie or a regular conventional television
show. And it takes
show.
Place in Portland.
So he's kind of getting on board with, A, letting talent run out and do this, because this had to be easier to produce than going to make a movie or doing a regular conventional television show. And she's great, you're saying. She's like better
great.
Than you've seen her do anything on Saturday Night Live.
She's great. It's great. And all these women who, you know, because of society, which is the point of this whole thing, and they don't have to be as, you know, listen, I'm not saying anything against Adi Bryant, because she talks throughout the whole series about I'm fat. You know, even women that aren't even as the size of Adi Bryant, who have low self-esteem and low, you know, have issues because society is telling you have to be thin, which is what she talks about constantly. She has one scene where she has a breakdown and says, my whole life, it's just like I can't eat this and I have to do this and I'm happy with the way I look, you know. And her boyfriend, who's been treating her like shit, he really likes her. I wouldn't say boyfriend. I'd say initially they're just like
fuck
friends.
Fuck buddies.
Friends with benefits. But he's embarrassed to be seen with her. And it's dramatic. It's comedic. Because she is a comedian. I mean, she comes out of these...
Do we see her naked like Lena Dunham and Girls?
No. Okay. But there are...
Does it have kind of a Girls vibe? Or it's not that hip? It's broader. It's more like a sitcom.
No. It's just really thought-provoking, interesting. And I think it's a service to society. And I think it's funny. And I think it's dramatic. And she has a great roommate that is also takes her to a pool party for all overweight women, where she's there with like 50 overweight women and she doesn't have to be concerned about her. But it's really an interesting thing.
I'm
and
in.
It's fun.
Bill?
Yeah, sure.
As long as she doesn't have her clothes off, I'm in.
I didn't say that. I said you said you see her naked.
Oh. Well, I know she has to put clothes on and
no,
off.
No. There are scenes where she's intimate with the boyfriend, but you don't see anything.
All right.
I'm going to tell you that... you know, watch the first episode and you'll know within 15 minutes of the first episode if you want to watch this series. Give it 15 minutes.
Oh, you think it has the potential to not interest some people?
No, I'm just saying, everything isn't for everybody. I'm just saying.
No, I know, but you mean you think it's got a vibe that you'll definitely either go with or not?
No, I wasn't saying that at all. I was
okay.
Just saying
you like
to you guys who I know, I'm saying you'll know in 15 minutes
right.
of watching the
all
show
right.
whether you'll want to continue watching this thing or not.
I like Crashing. Well, I like this.
Well, I just said that it has a similar vibe.
Well, you said it had the sort of the same lineage, like
yeah,
Judd
you,
and
yes,
Lauren. And
it's that, yes, I think you'll like the show very much. Right. It's infinitely better than any Saturday Night Live skit, 99% of any. Not that that's saying a lot. All right, Bill Bregoli, have I convinced you to check it out? I think you said yes.
Sure. If I find a $10 bill on the floor.
Oh, Hulu, right. It's Hulu. You got to. Well, you could always do the Hulu.
So technically, I won again because he's not going to watch it. Yeah. Actually, I'll definitely watch it.
All right,
now, you mentioned Crashing, and that's Judd Apatow. And I just want to give a quick shout out to this movie that's now available on. I don't know the different services. I know that you can get it on demand on your cable
system.
Apple
just announced today, as we record this on a Monday afternoon, they're now getting into the television business, and they're going to be – they announced all these TV series.
Right. Supposedly, they're going to blow Netflix away. Supposedly, they have content that's going to –
They have a series with Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston.
Tie me down.
Who were actually on Friends together.
No, tie you up. Reese Witherspoon was on Friends?
Yeah, she played Jennifer Aniston's – sister or friend?
Well, before you hijack this conversation, I was just going to say that a movie that's now out on platforms, and check your locals for where you can find it, is called Juliet Naked, which is kind of an interesting... Chris O'Dowd, who I love, is with Rose Byrne, are a couple, and Chris is completely, in fact, like a fan geek for a rock singer played by Ethan Hawke, who was huge and dropped out for some reason or another.
I saw this movie.
Yeah. You're just realizing?
I actually read the book.
No, it came out last year. It came out in 2018.
Yeah, I saw this. I believe I saw this.
Juliet Naked. So Judd Apatow is one of the executives.
Nick Hornsby wrote the book.
Yes, Nick Hornsby wrote the book.
See?
Great lineage. Doesn't take any of the normal turns you think it's going to. Yes, the Ethan Hawke character sort of falls for Rose Byrne, comes to the little town in England, and they... But nothing happens as you expect it to, and I was quite taken with it, and so I highly recommend
Maybe
it.
Maybe I didn't see it. Where is it, on Netflix?
I watched it on, as I said, a local cable system. So it's brand new on demand.
On demand.
Okay, let's move on.
And have I talked you both into watching?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
All right,
I read the book.
Bill McCuddy, we both saw a movie called Gloria Bell. Why don't you tell us all about that one? And I'll try not to interrupt
you. No, you can jump in here. Let's see if we can get Bill on board for this thing, because it is about a single woman who is having trouble in the dating world, meets a guy by the name of John Turturro, who is fabulous in this movie, at a dance club. They start to have a romance despite her initial misgivings. And in the course of the relationship, we learn that he may not be exactly what he says he is. She lives next to a very loud neighbor. And her ex-husband, played by Muddy Brad Garrett, has an opinion about, as do her children. It's basically an unmarried woman. Do you remember the Jill Clayburgh film from the 70s?
Paul Mazursky.
Mazursky. Updated, I think, in a fresh and cool way. And 100% this movie is all about Julianne Moore, who I'd be really surprised if the Independent Spirit Awards didn't, if they can wait for it, and this doesn't get lost. And I don't think it will get lost, because the studio that's handling it, I want to say Summit, but I could be wrong, maybe A24, is plateauing
it. Yeah, it is A24.
Plateauing it out, like, very slowly. So it's opening in more and more theaters.
They're platforming.
If it's coming to your town, I highly recommend
this. Well, it's almost a shot-for-shot remake of the same director redoing his own movie,
right,
called Gloria, not Gloria Bell, which I believe is a Chilean film.
Yeah.
And if you look at the trailer for that film after you see Gloria
Brazilian?
Bell,
yeah.
Even the pool that they're swimming in at one particular point at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, it's like whatever pool in Chile, it's like the same. They found with the columns, it's like it's literally.
But what's funny about what you're saying is that the movie feels completely original. It feels like nothing you've seen. I've seen that other movie too.
My wife was so taken. We both really liked the movie a lot. And Julianne Moore gets a remarkable performance. But she was so interested in the movie. When I told her it was a remake, she sought out the trailer and she goes, "You got to check out the trailer. It's like the same exact scenes." So I watched the trailer and it's like, I mean, I could give you this.
You had not seen Gloria before?
No, I had
Are
not.
You sure? Because we see a lot of movies. That was a big sort of.
I don't think I saw it. But I mean, it's the same thing with the guy who runs a paintball thing, and she's like, it's like the whole, you know.
It's very clever and funny. Right.
But, you know, if you like, it's interesting, though, in the Chilean thing, the songs that she's singing along to on the radio, she's a very happy person, Gloria. And then she meets this guy. She's very reluctant since her divorce to date, as Bill McCuddy aptly pointed out. She's reluctant to enter into a relationship, but she does. And this guy turns out to be unreliable, I guess would be really one word way to put it. And, you know, he's got some issues here, you know. But there's a great scene where she takes him to meet her family, her ex-husband, like you said, Brad Garrett, and her kids. And something happens there, which I don't want to give away, but it's really kind of interesting.
What's interesting, without giving too much away, is that he's not right and he's not wrong. It's one of those ambiguous things where he feels slighted for a reason, and you kind of understand where he's coming from.
I think the way he dealt with it.
Yes, we won't say anything else.
Wrong.
Right.
The ultimate thing, what he does there, is you could debate whether that was right or wrong, but the way in which he does that is completely.
Yeah. But
not,
you can.
Not a non-starter.
Anyway, any odds you're going to go see this?
Actually, I was going to see it a few weeks ago, and then you guys decided you were going, like tonight, you were going to do the podcast on the same night I was going to see the movie.
So this podcast is really fucking up your life.
This was the only night you had available. Somebody only had available this week to do the podcast.
It wasn't me. I'm free the next few nights.
All right. I'm free.
All right. You guys do another podcast tomorrow night. I'll be in Texas.
Okay.
Is that it? Is that all we have to talk about?
What's
that?
Something about Concrete.
No, we have many things.
Oh, yeah.
We have Diane to talk about.
We can talk about Diane. I'll just quickly tell you that, what was the Tomahawk, Stone Tomahawk? What was that guy? The big movie last year that was great. Anyway, that same director, writer, Steve with a Z, something has dragged Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn into a not exactly a buddy cop film about a heist that goes wrong, and it's extremely violent. It's 2 hours long, but everybody is raving about this thing. Chris Nashawaty, our buddy from EW, Jeffrey Wells says it's behind Diane, which we'll talk about
actually,
in a second.
Somebody in New York Times didn't like it.
Right. So it's getting about 75 to 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, but people you and I, or the three of us, know personally, have been bragging about this movie.
And
David
and
Fear Dragged Across Concrete, as I said.
And where can we see this?
Well, it opened in theaters, in five theaters around the country, but it's also on demand right now.
On Netflix, on demand.
I don't know about
Netflix. Did anybody see Aftermath, by the way? That's a movie that I'm really interested in seeing.
That's coming out next week, so we can talk about that with Keira Knightley.
No,
it is?
Yeah, it's out. But let's
Jason
talk
Clark?
But let's talk about, I think it's Keira Knightley.
No, I know.
And Jason Clark.
I know she's in it, but it's not a one-woman show.
It's a one-woman show. She just sits there.
Your Skarsgård buddy is in that, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Alexander Sorkin.
Nazis.
Okay, so we saw a movie called Diane for the television show, which is on this Friday, Channel 75, 9:30 at night. On
calm down,
Spectrum
calm down.
Horizon.
We'll get you a link. Mary Kay Place, who you remember from
Mary Hartman.
Hasn't she also been in a bunch of the Christopher Guest movies, or am I imagining that? It's like
she's been in a lot of things.
She's been around for a long time, and tell us about this movie. Tell us about Diane.
So Diane is about Mary Kay Place plays this woman who is a giver. She gives. She has a drug addicted son, and she takes care of him. She works in a soup kitchen. She takes care of all the people that come to the soup kitchen. She's got a friend in the hospital. She's constantly visiting her. I mean, the first, I'd say, hour of the film, we're just seeing her kind of not really, her whole life is basically, I guess, it's pretty aptly put, right? I mean, she's just taking care of other people.
Yeah.
And then there's, which I'm not going to tell you, Estelle Parsons is a friend of hers. The great Estelle Parsons.
Andrea Martin is
in
this.
Andrea Martin's in the movie. And
basically, anybody in AARP is in this film.
Yeah.
Which is admirable. I'm not making a joke.
It's an indie film.
It's kind of cool that a filmmaker decided to get a bunch of older people together and introduce us to their world.
But it's really her story. And we find out about an hour into it about something in her life that she's very upset that she did, which I will not reveal here. And this reveal that is given to the audience maybe two-thirds of the way through the film, I could give a shit about. And I think that the writer-director, if he wrote the thing, wanted some emotional impact from this particular incident, which I could care less about. I could care less about anything that was going on in this movie. Do I think that Mary Kay Place gave a good performance? Sure, I'll give her that. Always nice to see Estelle Parsons act. She's good.
Andrea Martin's great.
Andrea Martin's good. But this is boring as shit. And I have to tell you, Bill McCuddy has a line on when we saw Roma saying it was like a security camera.
Roma's like, it's not a movie. It's a home security camera pointed at a living room for 2 hours and 15 minutes.
That's what I felt this was like. It was kind of like you put a camera in a living room with some lady. And I'm going to the knitting club next week. Oh, that's nice. Well, why don't you bring some of your, pot? Why don't you make some cake? Cake is great. And then she's, I'm going to take care of my son. And then the son makes a turn and he stops becoming a drug addict again. And then he becomes born again, But I'm making this sound more interesting probably than it actually is. This thing was just really a drag to sit through.
I said if you took the footage of a car driving down a highway out, the movie itself would only be 8 minutes long. I mean, they keep cutting to that device. I think she's good in it, Mary Kay Place. I mentioned earlier that, I think maybe she'll be, I think also... Julianne Moore might get an Independent Spirit Award. I think Mary Kay Place, again, if this movie is remembered at the end of the year. I can't recommend this thing. It's a terrible slog. And this is another one that you and I are alone on because
we're really alone.
Rotten
here,
Tomatoes,
man.
It's like 95, 97%. People love it. So is there any chance you want to see Diane now?
No, not at all. I do think I may have dated her at one point, but no, I'm not going to see her.
All right, what's coming up next week, Bill?
Shazam.
Anything else?
Besides.
That's about it.
All right, well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about other stuff. Want to reach Bill McCuddy?
At Bill McCuddy on Twitter.
You can reach me at Neil Rosenapples, and you can reach Bill Brigoli by
throwing
smoke signals.
Yeah, smoke signals, throwing a bottle in the water.
Right, and you could watch our show, Talking Movies, the television show, Lisa Rossman, Logan Hill, Bill McCuddy, and myself, this Friday on Spectrum Channel 75,
calm down, we'll get you a link.
Lots of stuff, and we'll send you a link if you follow us on Twitter. Anyway, what do we do every week on this television show, Bill McCuddy?
We talk way too much, a podcast. It's not a television show. Thank God there aren't cameras in here. We watch the bad movies so you don't have to.
That's right. And thanks for sitting around talking movies with us, and we'll sit around talking movies again with you next week.